Hi, friends. I'm Rob Tigan.
And I'm Joanna. And this is the Growing Home Together podcast.
We're caring for the soul of your family, helping you grow closer to God
and each other. Thank you for joining us today for the Growing Home Together podcast. Now, if you're a mom or a dad like us, I'm sure you know how it is. Your child can't find their shoes, so you're running late for the 10th time that week. Or your little one promises they don't have to go potty until you're barely back on the freeway and they're leaving puddles in their car seat. Or you're trying to have a rational conversation with your tween or your teen, but the eye rolling and the sass are making you lose your mind. Our kids know how to push our buttons like nobody else. And we get triggered, we lose our temper, and before we know it, our out-of-control emotions are tearing our kids apart.
Yeah, that's right. So what can we do as parents when those angry feelings rise up inside us? How do we keep our cool when our kids are driving us crazy? Even more, how do we become parents who are consistently gentle and loving towards our kids and so they can trust us completely? Today's guest, Amber Leah, is here to help us answer those questions.
Yes, Amber Leah is an author, a blogger, and a mom of four whose first title is a powerful book called Triggers, Exchanging Parents' Angry Reactions for Gentle Biblical Responses. Her insightful teaching helps us discover how to break free from anger and parent our kids with gentle love. Thank you so much, Amber, for joining us today.
Hey, you guys. Thank you so much for having me. I've been really looking forward to talking about this super important topic that often has a stigma around it, but really shouldn't, because it's something so many of us struggle with. And when we acknowledge it, then we can move forward. So this is going to be a great conversation.
Yeah, thanks so much. We're so glad you're here. Can you help us get to know you a little bit better and share some of yourself and your family?
Sure, yes. So I live in California, born and raised. Our kids are fifth generation Californians, which is kind of unusual, especially in Los Angeles area where we are.
For sure.
My husband, Guy, and I, we have a testosterone home, I like to call it. We've got four boys. They range from 4 years old to 14. So we've got toddlers to teens and everything in between. And it is noisy, and I've had to learn to adapt to that.
Wow.
but it's a good thing. And we have a production company, my husband and I. We've worked in the entertainment industry for quite a while. We are health coaches, so we really have an emphasis on health and wellness as well. So really, all the things that most of us are, you know, navigating in life, parenting, marriage, living healthy lifestyle, and just trying to be great parents. Those are the things that consume most of our days. We love the beach. We love to travel. I love a good book. And when I'm not doing those things, I really enjoy shopping with my mom. She's my good shopping buddy. We have a dog and a couple cats, so we're pet lovers. I feel like we're pretty normal. Like a lot of listeners, we've got a lot going on, but it's a good life. It's had its ups and downs, but God is always faithful through it all. So we're thankful for that.
That's so great. Well, I grew up in a home, with, three older brothers. So it was four boys. And so, I can, at least from now that I'm older and I've had conversations with my mom, can feel that pain a little bit of yeah. What you're saying. But, So we loved your book, and in your book, you, I'm just intrigued what made you write a book about anger for parents, and where did you realize personally that your kids were triggering anger emotions in you?
You know, Rob, that's a fabulous question, and it was so hard for me because I had been a literature teacher, English lit, for 10 years. I had taught middle school and high school. And I was large and in charge and in control. I loved my students. Most of them really enjoyed me. And I never raised my voice. I was able to handle difficult situations with my students. I felt pretty well. I loved discipling them from a spiritual perspective as well. And so I was looking forward to being a parent. And I had done a lot of babysitting and nanny work through college. I loved babies. It wasn't something new for me. But then I had my own children, and that was a whole new ballgame. And I didn't have kids that were just naturally easy, good sleepers, that kind of thing. I was very sleep deprived. My kids were high energy. I had several of them back, I had several of them back to back, and I quickly became overwhelmed. And in that overwhelm, I also happened to have a husband who had very long work hours. So I went from just this wonderful career that I loved and enjoyed. I'd always wanted to be a mom. I was finally home, had these initially first two beautiful sweet boys. They were challenging. I loved them a lot, but I began to become very discontent in my life. And I thought, is this what parenting really is? Because this is so hard. And I understood that they were immature, and a lot of the struggles at that time when they were very young weren't really so much about them, but I began to see seeds in my own heart that I needed the Lord to deal with. And eventually we moved to the Central Coast of California for my husband's job. So now I was also away from my support system with friends and family, living in a very small town, which had a lot of good seasons while we were there. But mostly I just began to really grow even more frustrated with my life and with my children. I had a third son by the time we were there. And I remember just thinking one day as my husband left for work, I was in my pajamas. I had a messy house, which is not like me, but it was very difficult with three kids, four and under, to keep up. And I didn't have a lot of personal connection. And I just felt like, Lord, I am living in a reactionary state of being. And this is not life to the full as you designed. I'm not the mom I want to be. I'm quick to anger. I'm testy. I snap at people. I love my children and I'm pretty good with them a lot of the time, but too often I am not displaying the fruit of the Spirit in my life and I need your help. And then I just had an honest cry out to the Lord. Lord, today has to be a turning point. And I started to work and partner with the Holy Spirit to really transform from a reactionary mom to one who responds with gentleness and love and kindness. And God did a powerful work in my life.
Oh, he is so good. Yeah. You know, in your book, you describe these triggers, you call them, that cause those overwhelming feelings of anger to kind of run away with us. And you describe them as being external triggers and internal triggers. And I was hoping that you could kind of explain what you're talking about there.
Yeah, you know, when I began to examine why I was angry and testy and frustrated and overwhelmed, I realized that there were a mix of factors, of triggers that contributed to that. Some of the things were external, things that had to do with my kids. You know, their temper tantrums, their whining and complaining, their messy room, you know, all these external things or things that had to do with my children. And then there were internal things that were just my own process. You know, when my husband and I had difficulty in our marriage during some of those years, that was an internal trigger. I became less able to parent well when I was having trouble with my marriage. And Guy and I have written marriage triggers as a result. God redeemed that too. But the other piece of it too, as far as internal, it could just be exhaustion. You know, we're weary from whatever our own personal issues are. Maybe we're in a place of just a discouragement because of friendships or lack of community. It could be internal things that are also just patterns that we experienced growing up. Maybe we had parents that had angry outbursts. And so we find ourselves repeating that, even though we swore we would never do that. You know, there's a lot of internal things in our own personal history that can also contribute to triggers. And so we really think it's important to examine both of those aspects.
Mm-hmm, right. One thing that I love in your book is that you talk about how to be proactive in our parenting so that we don't even get triggered in the first place. And I hope that we can unpack that in a few minutes. But initially, okay, I'm thinking about myself. I'm having a moment with one of my kids and those feelings are just rising quick. What would you tell somebody like me in that moment that we could do to kind of interrupt it before we start unloading on our child? How do we grab back that self-control in the heat of it?
You know, when I was asking the Lord to help me transform, I realized I had to be intentional. Most of my reactions were knee-jerk reactions. So in order to stop that pattern of behavior, I had to replace it and become more intentional and mindful and proactive. So in that sense, when my child does something that triggers me, I always tell people triggers are opportunities. They're not the things that just cause us to be angry and react in ways we don't want to. We can actually flip the switch and think of them now as opportunities for our own growth, for our own spiritual maturity, and to also teach and train and work and coach our children towards better behavior. So when we start thinking of these triggers differently, that's a big first step in the right direction. But in the heat of the moment, Wendy and I, my co-author Wendy Speak and I, we like to remind parents the simple but powerful practice of the holy pause. So if our knee-jerk reaction is to yell or snap or become quick to anger, just getting into the one simple practice of stopping before we speak. And we call it a holy pause because we're inviting the Holy Spirit in that moment as we pause to help us speak and behave differently. Even our body language can soften. You can even just start there. I remember I would often do the huff and puff, you know, like just, you know, or the eye roll or the hands on the hips. And so it can be something as simple as I'm going to stop and pause before I react, and I'm going to just relax my body. Just that physical practice of forming that new habit can go a long way. And it allows us to be calm enough for a second to think more clearly. You know, it's scientifically, when our anger rises, we are less able to control our emotions, what's going on in our brain. And so that's just that pause, that relaxing our body, inviting the Holy Spirit to help me is a big, big deal. And it's helped our readers tremendously just to remember that it doesn't mean you have to have all the answers to everything in the moment, but just taking time to collect ourselves first is a really important practice as a segue into then also being able to breathe life into our kids instead of maybe using our words to wound.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think giving the mom or the parent permission to do that and make how you respond next as important as just getting to the next thing or getting through the next thing. Cause I'm having a little bit of compassion here as a dad, because, you know, all those years I can relate to so much of what you're saying, because we have five kids. And when all our kids were younger and running around, I was traveling probably 40-50% of the year. And so Joanna was running the house, and I, you know, it's hard enough to gauge our own emotions, yet alone be responsible for so many little people. So I'm curious, and I wasn't planning on asking a marriage question here, but how can a dad help in those situations? You know, when they come home from a long day or a long trip, and these emotions are running high, for how can a couple work together in that, and how can a dad help in that?
It's a very important question, and something that a lot of moms in particular who, you know, honestly, we are often doing the majority of the parenting in the daily basis, and we are curious, how do we get dad to get on the same page with us, parenting on the same page, and also just helping us to create a different culture in our home, one that steps away from that angry reactionary parenting toward the more gentle biblical responses. And it's really going to vary depending on the marriage relationship. In our book, Marriage Triggers, Guy and I say that, you know, you have a unique personality, your spouse has a unique personality, and so your marriage is going to have its own unique marriage personality. But in general, there are certain things that we think apply to most couples when it comes to parenting. And really, the main thing is it's often the case that the mom will start to transform. she'll start to make some changes. It begins to change the culture and the tone in the home. The kids begin to be impacted in positive ways. And then the dad sees the value in that. Mm. And you can partner together in moving in the right direction together. Guy and I think it's very important. You know, you're a couple. You're supposed to be for each other. And so having a conversation, like I would make a coffee date with Guy and say, look, I'm working on this area in my life. You're my partner. You're my teammate. I want us to be cohesive and unified in this area. I know I've got some work to do and I'm working on it. Would you be open to reading this book with me? Would you be open to taking some steps toward less reactionary parenting with me? I think it's super important to pray before those conversations happen and really to approach it from a, we're doing this together because we're a team and we're for each other type of conversation, as opposed to, I know I've got my junk, but he or, but she's always, and it needs to be a, like I said, a proactive conversation and not an accusatory one, where we're just reflective even on our own goals. And could you help me with this as I'm trying to make some of these changes in the way that I'm disciplining our kids or the way that we're talking to our kids, and decide what that is and keep it simple. You know, we don't want to try to pick apart every area of our parenting that we think we might be needing to make changes in, but focusing on one small thing at a time with your spouse together is great. So if we both notice that we're quick to react and to spew whatever comes out of our mouth, then, hey, let's both practice the holy pause. And Guy and I give each other permission when we see each other starting to ramp up to just gently put a hand on the arm and just say, hey, do you need a second? You want me to handle this? So that, you know, why don't we just take a second and breathe for a minute, or let's step away for a second and deal with this in a few minutes. And just that reminder sometimes from your spouse in the heat of the moment too can be really, really helpful. But if we just practice that one thing for a little while, that would be a really, really good way for us to just partner together and start to get on the same page.
Hey there, friends. We're interrupting this episode to make sure you know about a wonderful parenting resource that is available for you. Rob and Joanna Tigan of Growing Home Together are the parents of 5 kids ranging in age from elementary school to high school to adult newlyweds. Over the years, they have learned how important it is to place their sons and daughters in God's hands and how the power of prayer can make such a difference in their children's lives. Powerful Prayers for Your Son and Powerful Prayers for Your Daughter are beautiful books that offer page after page of targeted prayers that cover every kind of challenge and hope your kids will face as they grow. Both of these books by Rob and Joanna Tigan are available for you at growinghometogether.com or wherever books are sold. Okay, friends, let's get back to the show.
Kind of in line with what you're talking about, we did have a season when anger had really taken hold under our roof, especially in my relationship with my daughter. And it had gone way over the line. And it was becoming a persistent, destructive element in our home. And Rob's kind of our family visionary anyway. But one thing that helped me is he had a vision in his mind of what kind of family do we want. Yeah. And what does self-control and love really look like in practical terms in our home? And he set some very definitive kind of boundaries around the way that we talk to each other. And then he pretty much spoke them over my daughter. And I like, you know what? This is where the line is. We're going to live within this line. And I really appreciated him exercising his authority in our home in that way. And one thing that I love about your book is you talk about how God exercises his authority in our lives and how that sets an example for us and how we take authority in our house. Can you talk to us about that?
Absolutely. So, you know, when we think about God, obviously the scriptures are full of descriptions of God and his character. When I was going through this process of trying to turn away from anger in my parenting, I thought really hard and searched the scriptures for how does God parent me? How is he a loving father toward me? How does he draw me to repentance? And what I saw over and over again is, while God is a God of justice, while he does call us to obedience, It's his loving kindness that draws us to repentance. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And I thought to myself, is that true of my parenting? Would my kids say that the reason they turn from wrong toward right behavior is because of my loving kindness? Is it because I'm so consistent like God is? Am I faithful like God is? Am I steady like the Lord is? Am I in many ways, you know, predictable, right? God's love is predictable. It's unconditional. And so while some people think, well, then that's just going to be permissive parenting, if this is all about grace and you're just love and all those things, well, love does not mean permissiveness. Love has authority behind it. And so I began to examine that. And I thought to myself, well, you know, like you were sharing, Joanna, with your daughter, just that long-term seed of conflict. What I have to ask myself as far as God's authority in my life is, how did the Lord treat me when I was sinning in a certain area or struggling with something that didn't just change overnight? And I saw that he was very, very patient with me. He did not punish me at every turn. He gave me a lot of grace. He was very clear on what he expected from me, but he was very loving in it. And he didn't whip me upside the head every time I messed up. And so I had to ask myself, Amber, you are the authority, but is your authority consistent and loving and grace-filled? And I had to recognize that it really wasn't. I was assuming my kids knew what I wanted them to do a lot. I was assuming that they were mature enough to follow my lead when they weren't. And so I had to go back to some basics and be really practical and purposeful and intentional in recognizing that my authority was not being clearly communicated in a loving way. I was instead expecting a lot from my kids and then disciplining them. And that really wasn't fair to them. And it wasn't modeling what God did for me.
That's really powerful. And I think it is good to remind ourselves. And, you know, I think that's why your book has resonated with so many people. I don't think triggers is just a mom problem. It's in fact, Joanna was sharing the other day, she was at an appointment and she was in the waiting room and there was a dad there and the kids were trying to get his attention and he really just wanted to read his book. And he just kept, you know, forcefully kind of telling the kids, you know, stay away. I want to read my book. I don't, you know, and she texted me because it just made her so sad to see the look on his face and that kind of thing. And I think it is good to, as you had talked earlier, to kind of stop in those moments when those triggers happen. And remember that God doesn't treat us as our sins deserve and that
That's
he,
right.
he is kind. And, you know, I even think, how does God respond to me when I trigger him, you know? So that's, I think that's really good. And that kind of leads to my next question, where you describe parenting as coaching our kids. So how does taking on a coaching mentality change the way we train our kids?
This was really life-changing for me as a parent to recognize that I had this mentality of what a mom and dad should look like that was really not serving my family. But in that, like you mentioned, Rob, so often we think it's about discipline, being stern, being strict, rules, all of that. Well, that's not really relationship, mm-hmm. right? It's not really fostering and promoting the kind of loving relationship that I want with my kids. And so one of the verses that was really instrumental for me on this journey is Proverbs 31:26. It says, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Or another version says the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And I thought to myself, Amber, when you grow up and you're a parent, do you want to be fool? Because scripture also says a fool gives full vent to his anger. Now, did I want to be the kind of mom that was a fool? Or did I want to be the kind of mom who had faithful instruction on her tongue and wisdom? And so I had to honestly confess that to the Lord, that that was not descriptive of me, that proverb. and ask him to try to transform the way that I speak and teach. And so what I recognized is that I needed to become a mama's coach. And so, for example, if my kids were doing some kind of behavior that I didn't want them to be doing, instead, first of all, I had to recognize and identify it. Is this something that is just immaturity? Is this my lack of instruction? And is this an expectation that's reasonable or not? And what have I done to set my kids up for success before I just go to anger and discipline? Have I actually done the work to lay the foundation for them to be successful and to model the kind of character that I want them to model? And I had to admit that that was not really in place for me much of the time. So, for example, if my kids were running late all the time because we can't get out the door, and I identify that the issue is that they can't ever find their shoes, and now we're frustrated and flustered getting in the car, and I'm triggered toward anger, well, I want to look at that as a coach, right? An athlete, a piano teacher, someone like that, they don't have their student come to them and put them immediately in the Olympics or playing at a major concert, right? They look at their student, their pupil, they evaluate their skill set, their maturity level, all of those things. They identify their strengths and build them up in those. And then they look at their weaknesses or the places where they need improvement. And then they give them a lot of practice. They show them, they model it, they teach them, they train them over quite a length of time. And the expectation is clear. It's a loving, positive. I mean, there are coaches who are brutes, right? But the kind of coach that I want for my kids is the one who empowers and uplifts them and is the wind beneath their wings. And so I had to ask myself if that was true of me in these things that would trigger me, quote unquote. And so when I started looking at that as a mama's coach, well, so often we expect our kids to be in the concert or in the race or in the competition and perform. And then when they don't, they're punished or disciplined, when I haven't really done all that groundwork before to prepare them for that moment. And so after we've done a lot of that work and coaching and training, then there's the expectation that, okay, you know the expectation, we've practiced this, it's been modeled, you're still making a wrong choice. So now here is your loving consequence. Or you've done so well, I see you growing, here is your blessing, here is your reward. Just like you would at a competition or a performance or a concert that you've been prepared for. And so when I started thinking of my parenting in that light, everything changed for our family, because now I would be able to go to even my littles and say, hey guys, we're going to practice outside of conflict and outside of the moment when we need to be somewhere on time, how to get our shoes on and get in the car. And I had to also study each of my children's personalities. I knew that if I told my older son, hey, you've got 15 minutes before we need to be in the car, get what you need, he will do it because he's very organized like me. He's kind of type A like me. I have another child who's more of a dreamer. He's easily distracted. And that's going to be amazing for him when he grows up because he's a dreamer and he explores the world around him and he's curious about everything and God made him that way and it's beautiful. But he will get so distracted, like, you know, he'll be like squirrel over here and squirrel over there on his way to the front door. He will get distracted by all the shiny things on the way. He's not trying to be naughty. He's not trying to be disobedient. And when I come down hard on him because he's a dreamer on his way to the door, then I'm crushing his spirit. But when I say to him, hey, buddy, you've got 15 minutes, I know I need to let him know when there's 5 minutes to go. I know that I need to give him some gentle reminders until he matures to a place where he can do that more for himself. I've got to take into account my kid's uniqueness and not just jump to reaction and anger and frustration and think that they're trying to make my life miserable by making me late. And then we practice that. We practice it. We practice it. And we breathe life into our kids. And we tell them, I know today when we have to go, you're going to be so good about getting to the door on time. I really appreciate how you always put your shoes in the basket so you know where they are. And we don't have to hunt for them. I love that about you, buddy. And we practice and we practice and we practice. And we even ask our kids, okay, you know, we've been working on this area. If things don't go the way we want or you guys aren't obeying, what do you think would be a good consequence for that? I actually invite my kids into the process of determining what would be appropriate consequences for them. It's very clear what the expectation is. You don't perform well at the race, you decide to walk instead of run, the consequence is that you're not going to win, probably, right? So there are consequences to things. And so that's true in our home too. And then we collaborate and then we make it very clear. Okay, you know that if you're making this late and you're not getting your shoes on, whatever, then that means you don't get your screen time today. And I'm so sad for you that happened, showing them empathy. Not, you know what, you just can never do it right. Here, we've practiced this and now you're making us still late, da da da. No, as opposed to the empathetic, all right, I'm so sad you made that choice, but you know what? Tomorrow's a new day. God's mercies are new every morning. Here's your consequence for today. I understand it's painful. I still love you. Let's keep working and moving in the right direction. Does that not reflect the loving kindness of our Father?
Yeah.
I think it does.
For sure. For sure. And I appreciate a lot of the things that you're saying there, because it goes back to what we talked about earlier in the program of that intentionality and that slowing down. But it also gives you kind of peace, I guess, that it is more of a marathon, you know, that you are in it for the long haul. So you don't have to take each situation or each trigger as like, they've got to get it right this time. It is a process. And I like that, you know, in your book, you talk about too, how we're responding to our kids, as you use that coach analogy. You know, usually the coaches we respect are the ones that can challenge the kids and get the kids to grow without feeling like they're, you know, going too hard at them. And so you mention in there that it's hard with kids to I guess, react a certain way that you're telling them not to, if you're going to gain their respect and let them see that there's that love there.
Yeah. And Rob, I'll just say, parents will sometimes implement something new like this and they're discouraged after a couple days. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you said it's more like a marathon, because people ask me, well, I've been doing this for a week and I'm not seeing change. Although usually when parents start to implement the things we put in triggers, they see a change pretty very quickly, which is encouraging. But I always tell people, just keep doing the good parenting. You know what? They didn't get to this behavior overnight or over a week or 2 weeks or a month. They're not going to mature in that time frame either. So how long does it take for you to coach them in this one area that's a trigger? As long as it takes. It takes as long as it takes. And parenting takes a childhood. Okay, when they turn 18, guess what? You're still going to be parenting them. They're still going to be a child. And so you got 18 years to work on these things with your children. Don't become discouraged. Don't grow weary in doing good. You will produce a harvest if you don't give up.
I love that. Yeah, you have me thinking about the journey that we've been on. I mean, we're the parents of a child with ADHD. And another child had a significant sensory processing disorder when she was younger. She's grown out of a lot of it, but it was really hard. And that just meant a whole other layer of difficult behaviors and this confusing journey of trying to find strategies to help them get through schoolwork, get through meals, even get through getting dressed in the morning. And I know for me, wow, did that trigger some big feelings when it just felt too hard to do the simplest things just to get through the day. And I know I am not alone. What would you tell the parent who's just exhausted from these constant demands of parenting and maybe parenting a child with even some unique needs or behaviors, and they just don't feel like they have the strength to handle it?
So Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And what you'll see in triggers and in our follow-up book, Parenting Scripts, is that this is so much about our own growth and refinement in the Lord more than it is trying to change our kids. Our kids will change and respond as we become more like Christ through this refining process of parenting. And sometimes it does take a while. There are some things in your parenting that you're probably going to need to accept and embrace as worship as unto the Lord in your perseverance through them, because they might not change. And that should not discourage or defeat us, because the Lord will never give you anything that he will not equip you to manage through and to work through. And I always tell parents, Every challenging moment with my child can be a victory for me, even if it is not for them. They might never find victory in this area of their lives. We pray that they will, but it may be something that physiologically even will never change. But I can still be victorious as I navigate in a loving way this trigger with my child. I can have victory in my responses. I don't have to be a fool when my child is being foolish. I don't have to raise my voice when my child raises their voice. I don't have to act like a toddler and throw a tantrum when my toddler is throwing a tantrum. Every challenging moment with your child can be a victory for you. And in the end, there is great eternal value in that. And that is what God is most interested in, is are we doing things and becoming who he wants us to be in a way that's going to bear eternal fruit. Let's not be too microscopic in our moments with our kids. I know it can feel that way because you're in the moment, but expand your view, expand your understanding of what is going on in your life. Know that we live in a fallen world. There's going to be challenges. It's going to be struggle, but look for the good and the peace that passes understanding. It will flood your heart in those hard times.
Oh, that's really good. And yeah, this has been a really encouraging program and some great practical steps. But I would encourage the listeners to get the book Triggers, because it has so much helpful information. And I love you. I'm a quote guy, so I love how you kind of pull out little sayings and things that you can kind of remember as you go into different things. And we're going to have you back on for the triggers for your marriage too, because Joanna's kind of tired of my tantrums. So,
yeah, but,
but before we close out, I was just wondering if you'd be willing to pray for the parents listening today that want to break from that anger cycle today.
Yeah, I'd be honored to. I'm very passionate about this topic. My heart is very, very empathetic toward those of you who struggle. You are not alone. I thought I was the only one when I was going through this, and there was a lot of shame around it, and the Lord really removed that from me, and now he has me sharing all my dirty laundry with the world, and that's okay. I'm still on this journey. I'm still in process too, and so, like I said, parenting takes a childhood, so let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Rob and Joanna and their willingness to breathe life into us as parents by sharing on their podcast. Lord, I pray that you would bless them for it. Lord, for the reader right now, the listener that is hearing this message and just says, gosh, that's me. I feel like my day is filled with strife. I'm exhausted. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. Lord, would you give them hope that we can do small, simple changes that have a big impact, that your Holy Spirit is powerful in our lives, that there is nothing that is too hard for you. Lord, would you remove our guilt? Guilt is not from you, Lord. You want to give us loving conviction, not condemning guilt. So Lord, soften our hearts to change. Allow us to be receptive to your word, to really live it out. Work in the lives of our homes, Lord, that we would have a culture that is filled with loving kindness and respect. And Lord, would you start with us today? Would you bring to mind your wisdom for every parenting challenge? And Lord, would you just comfort each listener, give them a sense of the direction that they need to go in? And Lord, we just look forward to seeing you transform us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Well, it has been an absolute delight to get to know you a little bit better today, and I know I'm not the only one. So how can our friends connect with you online and take hold of all of the great resources that you've created?
So if you search my name, Amber Lia, L-I-A, you can find my website, which is online as well as on Facebook. You can search Amber Lia and Instagram. Those are the places where you can find me the most. We do actually have also a teaching video series, short video series for small groups and personal use for triggers and some of our other books on our website, amberandwendy.com. And other than that, it's really easy to shoot me an email through my website as well and via Messenger. If people need prayer, I'm always happy to pray for you. But just know that I'm going to be praying over this episode and for all of you, and look forward to connecting wherever you can find me.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for your encouragement today. Amber, we really appreciate you spending this time with us.
You're so welcome. Thanks, you guys.
And thank you, friends, for joining us at the Growing Home Together podcast. We would love to connect with you over on our website at growinghometogether.com. We've got a free marriage devotional for you there, plus some fun family activities to share with your kids. At Growing Home Together, we're caring for the soul of your family.
And growing home together with you. Bye.